I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tobin,
Leroy here with you,
560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Miami Heat back on the floor tonight with a some more preseason action.
Is this the Younglings game?
Oh, yeah.
Did they really need to play this game?
Say again, Vlad?
Did they really need to reschedule this game?
Come on, Tobin. I don't think so, dude. I don't really understand it. I mean, I know you got to make your scratch. It's not a terrible travel because it is Atlanta, but I don't remember if it was New Orleans or San Antonio. One of them was supposed to take on the Magic, and
New Orleans said no. Yeah, New Orleans said no. They were like, nah, we don't have to do this game against the Magic.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm with you. I don't understand the need to get it in. It's basically going to be a G League game tonight, you know, with some high draft picks. I mean, I guess you get to see Kalel versus what's the dude's name? Rostache, the first pick.
The first pick.
Yeah, the first number one pick that everybody was like, ooh.
We've had those before.
I tell you what, it was funny watching that game last night though, because, you know, Greg Popovich. It is a delight. This man is a five-time champion. He's obviously one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest NBA coach of all time. And you just seeing him there, and you can see he's got his jammies on. He's coaching his jammies. And he's thinking to himself, ah, good. He got this puppy in hand. You know he's ready to go get his nice steak dinner, wherever it is.
Glass of red wine.
Got a little dicey there at the end.
Ooh, especially when old boy made that three.
Yeah.
He's like, damn, now I got to coach him up.
Exactly. He's got to be thinking, oh, man, I don't want to coach him up.
And then if he would have made that three at the end, now we got overtime.
It's like the only act of time when you're really rooting against your teammates, because nobody wants that.
Nobody wants more minutes in the preseason game.
Nobody wants that. Well,
football, they always go for two.
He was yesterday. He gets there for the pre-press conference. They were asking about some guy. I don't know who he was. And he goes, I don't know. Make it up. Make up. Whatever you think I should say, I'll say.
Yeah.
Charles is back tonight.
I don't know. He practiced this morning, but they haven't told me what he's doing.
What did you like about him?
He's tall. A good rebounder. Nice kid. Listens. I'll make some if you want.
Hey, is he the only one that can say that?
Oh, yeah.
He's tall. But, like, you got to know the entirety of these questions, right?
I don't know. He was out. You know, it was funny because he comes into the press conference yesterday. He goes, he looks around. He goes, nobody else is going to have any questions. He goes, I don't know. He's like, I got to go watch film. So I don't know. It's got to be one of those things where, like, Pop probably, he's got to go though because Wemby's playing. So, you know, he's got to manage his unicorn and see what he's going to be because. I got to tell you, man, like, he's awesome. But I feel like the expectations are getting a little out of control for this second year.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
But is he that good, though?
He might be.
Because they do it to everybody. You come in the league that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also, yeah, I'm going to say it. The media wants him to do good.
Yeah.
I think the media has this thing of always want the foreign players to do better than the American players.
Interesting.
No, it's. I mean, they've been.
I don't disagree with you, but I do feel like there's a lot of groupthink, Vlad, and I think you're right. Like, I feel like everybody, nobody is saying pump the brakes on Wembanyama.
No, they said this guy can win every award possible.
Yeah,
defensive play. You,
dude, let me tell you something right now. I remember last year, preseason, Heat, Grizzlies. You've never seen Bam Adebayo play so damn hard in a preseason game. And he always plays hard. But that dude.
Oh, that was the Jaren Jackson. Yeah. That was Jaren
Jackson. He gave Jaren Jackson the work. And then this game, whoo, he goes, oh, what's up, tall man? Try and dribble past me.
It's a giant.
Wemby's fumbling all over the place. Bam's cooking him, putting threes. That man, can we just do the right thing and give this man the defensive player of the year? Because he sees those polls. And every poll, all of a sudden, finally, first team, all defense. This is going to be my year. I think this is the year of Wembanyama as defensive player of the year. And he's like, you mother, are you kidding me? What do I have to do? Now there's a taller French guy?
That's better skilled? No, yeah. I really think there is a push to make him the new face of the NBA, because we're all trying to find the next face of the NBA. And after LeBron,
we have faces of the NBA,
right? But they want a face.
They're not very promotable.
Well, no. You have a promotable one. He just plays in a small market.
Who?
Ant
Edwards.
Ant, yeah. But I'm talking about Joker. Yeah. Like, right. As soon as you know where they out,
but they're not. They're not. Like, they're not as charismatic, or
that's what I just
right,
said.
Right, they're not as charismatic. No, well, listen, they're not as charismatic, and they're older. Jokic is older,
and the thing about Ant is, y'all can say what y'all want about Ant. Ant gonna tell it like it is,
and that's sure. The thing. They like that raw. They like that raw ability. Yeah. Like Ant has it. Ant has the persona to be the next face, because you've seen him in movies, you've seen him in commercials, you see how the other big name players actually are attracted to him. That he has a magnet. And
right,
they're trying to push that on Wembanyama, and they all are.
He might not have the personality.
He might
not.
He has a Tim Duncan personality, but it's just that you've never seen somebody 7'4" this balance and skill. They're right. Going to force that narrative, because you know why? The last four or five MVPs have been what? Foreign players.
I will say, though, dude, like, you can't look away. It is one of these things. Like,
no,
Tyler.
I know.
Tyler, like, listen,
when I was staring at that man's nipples, I was like, goodness gracious.
Dude, you like, always talking about that man's nipples, man.
Because when I turned and looked, all I could see was the number, San Antonio, and that's right there. Hey, I'm yo. Like, wow. And look, I was like, goodness. Now,
Stun Steve says
he could have took a knee and hid behind me because he was so thin.
Yep.
But that's a whole nother conversation. If he would have, I think he would have been taller than me if he would have took a knee.
I saw yesterday he was doing his media sitting down. He still looked as tall as everybody.
Think about that. He could have took a knee and been taller than me. I'm not short.
I know.
I'm like, man. But the thing is that he's skilled. Seems like a really cool dude, but just because you're a cool dude and you're skilled don't mean you have that personality to carry the, you know, the brand.
I don't even think it's the personality. I just think it's young, right? Like, you always just talk about, like, what's the right age? And I just think that,
but they're trying to heap all this expectations on him, like, immediately. Like, Toby, it's ridiculous. Like, they literally say this guy can win every award.
I know.
In one season.
I know. I thought it was crazy how high he was last year. I'm like, dude, like, all right. You know, like, trash team. Like, they weren't good at all last year.
No.
And everybody's like,
I think he need a couple of more LBs on his body.
We all think that.
Yep.
But maybe it's because he's 7'4", right? Like, he's always going to look skinny.
And here's the other thing. Maybe today's NBA, they're not as big as, like, when Shaq and those guys were playing. So he's just going
against somebody on him.
Right. He's just going against people similar size as he is. I mean, it's not like when we see him go against, what's the other guy?
He's also, like, honestly, I think they're going to overthink it with him, because he should just be in the paint dunking on everybody's head. And, like, he's trying to be KD a little bit.
No, he ain't got the ball handling skills of KD. You know?
That's what he tried to do past Bam.
No. Like, he's got skills, man. He pulled the sham god on Gobert. Gobert. That was nasty.
Yeah, but
listen. he did get back Duncan yesterday on a block.
So is Cat already complaining about being in New York?
No.
Is what? He?
No. The big bodega? Oh, okay. You leave him alone.
The big bodega. Hey, I tell you what. I know who is happy. Mm-hmm. Ant and Gobert.
Well, I mean,
until you're Anthony Edwards stuck with Gobert.
Oh, I don't know if Ant's going to be happy when Julius Randle gets the ball and he doesn't get the ball back.
Oh, because Julius Randle is kind of a black hole when it comes to basketballs.
Kind of?
Dribble, dribble, dribble. Pull back three!
Kind
with
of.
The left. Yeah, hey.
Man. Headlines, by the way, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models at Doral Hyundai. An inventory that's in Tucson, the sign, the Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. The Heat, they will tip off at 7:30 tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. They beat the Spurs yesterday 120-117.
You know what that means.
Pizza Hut?
Pizza. No, not Pizza Hut, baby.
Oh, just pizza?
Papa John's.
Papa John's. Oh, Papa John's.
My 50%.
My bad, Papa John's.
And hey,
even the preseason?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We already confirmed it.
Yep.
Okay.
NLCS game 3 tonight from New York. Mets host the Dodgers. That is at a very exact 8:08 for the first pitch.
They're tied up, right?
Yeah, it's tied up by one. Yeah, baseball's one. Really, really adamant about having their game start at 8 minutes past the hour.
Remember the year that all Marlins games started at 7-Eleven?
Yeah. Was that Marlins or White Sox? I feel like it was a White Sox thing.
Was it? I thought it was the Marlins.
Nah, the
Marlins.
The Marlins' big thing is they moved all their games before 7. They made them like 6:40.
And their big thing is always having every Saturday afternoon home game is.
Did you guys see that the Rays might not have a home next year? Like, apparently the Trop's so messed up, they may not be able to fix it.
And the new stadium's not going to be done until 26.
You think the Rays fans care? It's not like they go to the stadium anyway.
But what about the Yankees fans?
They can still play the games there with an open roof.
No, apparently they can't because there's no drainage system.
Oh.
That's what they were saying yesterday. I saw that former GM Jim Bowden was talking about this. He's like, yeah, there's no drainage system. They can't do it. So I saw some people were suggesting they have to go play with a Yankee spring train, even though the capacity is only 11,000.
That's still 5,000 more people that go to a race game.
Well, I mean, you know.
What? Wrong.
So they are going to be the jumbo shrimp.
How do you think they feel the Marlins? Because you see the Savannah Bananas were here.
They did like 25,000 sellout.
Sell out. 36 sellout. Really? Everybody went to go see Harlem Globetrotters baseball.
Somebody asked me what it was, and that's what I said.
Harlem Globetrotters baseball, Caribbean Series, World Baseball Classic. You can't have enough seats. Marlins. Maybe the Rays come down here. Two teams, one ballpark.
I bet you they still can't get 35,000 combined.
Bendix would be happy. His boys from the Tampa would be here.
They can't do that.
Why not?
Because you know how you would have to coordinate a season? Holy smokes.
Doubleheaders?
You could play a doubleheader, have Tampa play at 1 p.m. and then have the Marlins play at 6. And I still don't think they'll be able to combine for a sellout.
Ooh, what Agreed. If they do that?
Agreed.
What if they do that? They go, all right, here's what we're going to do. Two MLB games in one day, every day. One American League. You get the Yankees down here a little bit more. The Red Sox. You get to have season tickets to two teams.
You know what's crazy? When I was a kid, we didn't have a baseball team. And so once a year in the preseason or during spring training, we would get four teams come to the Superdome and play.
Oh.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. So they would play for like 2 or 3 days. and you would get back-to-back games.
That's fun.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Back with more for this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Lyric, you got a weather update from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. YourAccidentAttorneys.com, free consultations 24/7. Call them up at 866-954-MORE.
Hold a couple of good days. What a beautiful day. Got a light breeze, maybe 5-10 miles an hour out of the, looking for some cloud movement. I'm moving. Hold on. Let me check. Looks like it might be out of, I can't tell which way it's coming out of, south, southwest. It's a pleasant day, right around 80 degrees and mostly sunny.
Wow. How do you do, Elijah? Is he still spot on as a golfer?
I don't know if it's sunny because it's cloudy over here.
All I have is the window plex here, buddy.
Well, sorry.
It's 83 degrees. The wind is blowing from... it's blowing from the south. But it's 84 degrees. It's clear. And it's partly cloudy. But he does
How can it be clear and partly cloudy?
That's what it says, bro.
You can have some clouds.
You could have some clouds.
Yeah, I see some clouds. Yeah.
You could have some clouds.
But the fact that we've seen sun for the last couple of days is pretty good.
Levers, he's pretty much correct.
And the cooler air, you feel that cooler air from the low, the humidity not being so high. Nice days. Nice. It's getting to the time of the year where you love living in Florida.
Did you see what happened yesterday in Tyler Hero's post-game interview, Leroy?
Nope.
Same time, and just continuing to figure out what we can do to get ready for the season. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by a fight up there. This is crazy.
Well, hopefully that breaks up here soon. We'll let you go, Tyler. Thank you so much for the time.
So much. Thank you.
Wait, why did he start moving like he was fighting? Why did he start bobbing and weaving like he was?
First of all, I love the haircut. I love the haircut. He looks like he's 12.
Yeah,
right.
He looks like Will Wheaton in Stand By Me right now with that. He looks like, you know.
But why did he start bobbing and weaving?
Because it might have been a good fight going on. And when you watch a good fight, you start thinking you're involved in it. So he's like, you know. He's trying to tell, like, you know, you got to duck that. Like, you know.
Hey, you be dodging the punches.
Yeah. You ever watch a fight? You think you're in it. You think, like, all of a sudden you start mimicking the moves and everything.
And you know
like
what?
That.
It's funny. Because
and you always get, you never get knocked out.
In the fight. The people that's in the fight look like boxers, and the people that's actually fighting are swinging all crazy.
Rare are the times where we get a preview to a stadium fight before we get footage of the actual fight. Normally,
oh, you have it?
These are, oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe the sound of it, obviously, but I will show for our YouTube audience. It was, green hair.
Oh, we got girls involved.
Yep. We got some girls involved. She's trying
to pull
back.
Oh, wow. Oh my
this
God.
Is over, I think, by the Pat Riley seats.
This is about to... are clothes coming off?
That's right there. Right, that table right there, that's the Pat Riley. That's the Heat. The Heat contingency sits
that's
up there.
That's right next to the DJ, right? Isn't the DJ
yeah.
not...
Oh yeah, my. Right by the DJ. Wow. Man.
Oh, man.
They were getting after it, man.
Did they break it up? Oh, finally. There you go.
You know how bad of a fight is if girls have to be involved? This was a 2-on-2. This was an intergender match.
Man, how about that?
Wow.
Uh-oh. We got to take it down.
Oh, man.
Jeez. How about that? Oh, media
a preseason game?
That's what I'm saying.
It was something.
Somebody had green hair?
Yeah, the dude that got.
There's like multiple people with green hair, correct?
Maybe that's.
Yeah, look at there's another one.
Now, that's a girl.
Okay. So she got green hair like her boo?
Yeah, I think they greened out.
Oh no.
They can't get cash together.
That's why they got in a fight.
They can't get cash together, though, so they'll spring paint their hair together green.
Can't get arrested like that? That's crazy. Anyway. Yeah. I'm sure those mugshots are gonna be fantastic.
It's not a real fight till somebody took their earrings off. Baby, hold.
Well, you couldn't tell. The video did not.
Nah, it looked like they got into action immediately. There was even no time to hold my earrings. There was no talking.
And it wasn't no hair pulling.
No, they got into it. Now, here's my question.
When women fight, first thing they do is snatch each other's clothes off and pull hair.
I love it.
How many drinky poos do you have to have before you're getting into, you're swinging on
that?
I'm the opposite. Like, if I have a couple of drinks, I'm like, nah, dude, I ain't getting it.
But here's a question, though. It's Heat Spurs in a preseason game.
Yeah.
Why?
Because most fights you feel like happen over the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, when we see these fights, it's usually fan versus another fan. You said something. Your team sucks. Hey, it's on.
New York come down.
Yeah. Boston, Philadelphia. Boston.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, was like, you know, this seemed like it must have been, I don't know. But it caught Tyler's attention.
Tyler, like, what was going on? Because he was that definitely.
He was very into it.
He started doing. I'm like, oh, everybody looked like a boxer until some fists are being thrown.
He was excited.
Time, and just continuing to figure out what we can do to get ready for the season. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by a fight up there. This is crazy.
Well, hopefully that breaks up here soon. We'll let you go, Tyler.
Look at the glee that came on his face. Did you see this?
I've never seen him smile so big.
You know, there was such glee on his face.
You
look at him.
He is so entertained by this.
Dude, imagine.
He's really not having it.
Imagine how many interviews you do. You're like, I'll never forget the one where there was a fight in the preseason.
Jeez. I didn't even know he had pearly whites like that until now. That's how much he was smiling.
When I played, we didn't do interviews on the field.
Never? Really? Never did the walk-offs?
No, they do pregame ones now.
Yeah, they do all those interviews now.
In preseason, they do sidelines.
Man, that was funny.
I've got to say that section gets a little aggressive.
The one by Pat Riley?
Yeah.
How dare you people?
And then you know, here, I'm going to just say this. You know, in the preseason, you can get lower seats that you wouldn't normally get during the regular season.
That's a fact. But now here's a question, though. If Pat Riley wants you off his court, you have to get off his court.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Pat Riley's court. If he turns around.
Pat Riley was already gone.
I'm just saying. If he saw that fight and he was like, hey, I want these guys gone, you immediately got to go.
Dade South says
Pat Riley was already gone.
Oh, yeah. He was gone for sure.
Yeah.
Dade South says they used the skinny Bob Barker mic to interview Leroy.
Dude, what are you doing? Like, what?
Hey, man, don't forget to adopt a pet.
No,
he's spayed or neutered.
Spayed and neuter. He wasn't adopt a pet. He was spayed or neuter your pets.
We'll take a break. Rats off a ship is next.
Rats off a ship. Game six.
Rats off a ship.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Hey, come out and watch the Canes with WQAM and Solana on Saturday at noon at the Quarterdeck on University Drive University Drive in Davie. They take on Louisville. Enjoy ice cold beer specials and get yourself entered to win a golf foursome at Jacaranda Golf Club in Plantation, Louisville.
How we feeling about this week?
Like, feel good. Yeah, feel good.
I mean,
feel good, dude. This feels like a put it on them game.
The last 2 weeks, they have not brought their A game.
Nope.
And this is the best team they've played all year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. So, I think they should win, but I have some concerns based on how they've been playing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, like, but. You also
I'm just keeping it real. I'm just keeping it real. Like, for you to just go full Canes blast or whatever.
I'm
like,
not going full Canes blast. I haven't been that guy this year. I have not
you
been
just
that.
Said it.
I think we're going to put it on them. I don't know. It just feels. I didn't feel that way about Virginia Tech, and I really didn't feel that way against Cal. I was like, weird travel.
That travel. I'm gonna give them a little bit. Like, you know, think about this as a college athlete. Very rarely, if not for a bowl game, do you travel that far to play a football team.
We're getting Jalen Rivers back on the line, so the line's going to be more fortified. You know, one of our most experienced tackles is coming back, so they're going to have – they get to kick in. They're going to have more protection there. I don't know, dude. I just – and then, you know we got to get to Rats. I'm getting too excited. I'm getting too excited about what we're going to do to the Cardinals. You know, let's just say they're going to be J-Figs out there. There's going to be birdering going on. Cardinals,
nice.
You're in trouble, dude. You're in trouble. J-Fig, what do we have today for Rats Off a Ship?
This is the J-Fig game. All right. First off, we have the Detroit Lions podium. What? Apparently, it's a little too big.
Okay.
The podium? Wow. Oh, my God.
Wait, the Meyer
and
performance?
That's a big thing? Man.
Holy smokes.
Could you imagine Mike McDaniel at that podium?
It would swallow Mike McDaniel.
You have to do a step up.
Wow.
Wow. Look, he's.
You would be able to only see his head if it was Mike McDaniel.
I'm Rats Off a Ship. That podium is uncomfortably big.
He looks and like that, he's holding it.
And this is the largest coach we have in the league. Like, that's ridiculous. I understand you got to make sponsors happy. I'm all for it. Blue Chew. But come on. That's the best they could do? He's literally standing at a billboard.
Right.
You might as well just put him on the highway.
Right. Yeah, I'm rats off a ship on that thing. Like
rats off a ship.
I mean, that seemed like it was a whole production to build that thing.
That took some craftsmanship.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You sure didn't get the guys that created the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria to create this?
I don't know.
Holy smokes, that
thing. He looks like it's like a Halloween costume. He's trying to carry it.
Oh, look, he almost has to duck down. It's so tall, like he's almost hitting the ceiling. Like, jeez.
That
kind of reminds me of a mailbox thing.
I'm
like a
all
drop
the
box.
Way. Yeah,
a
I'm
drop
very.
Box. Yep.
I'm all the way rats off a ship on that pony.
Yeah,
way
yeah,
too
yeah.
big. Rats
too much,
off a ship.
You sure didn't get that from Bill Clinton? When he was at Oval, when he was in the Oval Office.
What is Majors? Is that like? Is that their Publix?
Meyer.
Meyer.
Yeah.
That's their Publix?
Yeah.
Some Northern Publix, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. You got Meyers. They used to have what's the other one that was up north?
You're not going to see his Oscar Kroger. Meyer.
Kroger.
Kroger's?
Yeah, Kroger's. And then,
I love the one in Texas, H-E-B.
And then there, I think Albertsons was more north also.
Yeah, Albertsons is a north thing.
Yeah.
Reminds me of when me and Mrs. Tobin were riding up to Georgia and we just kept passing this grocery store. She goes, isn't that odd? It's a place called Inglace. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Ingles.
Did you give her a minus one?
Minus one. For sass.
You gotta tell it. You know, the Latino thing leaves when we get like leave Florida. Everybody doesn't pronounce stuff like that.
Oh man, what's number two, J-Fig?
Well, we have Tyler Herro being a defensive stopper this year. He has 3 steals in 2 preseason games.
He has been picking the pocket of his opponents. This was Tyler after the game yesterday.
Trying to get in the passing lanes, use my speed to get deflections and get steals. I don't got the longest arms, but I'm fast and quick. I can use my speed to be disruptive in my own way. And then obviously around Jimmy Bam, you know, 2 of our anchors on defense. Obviously, they're able to protect in a different way. So, just trying to fly around and make plays knowing they got my back.
Wow.
Terrible.
Wow.
I'm rats off a ship.
I'm rats off a ship. 2 reasons.
You ain't on this team for that. You're on this team to make 3s and be healthy.
And why are you wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt?
That's what kids do for the fit, you know?
Yeah.
Look at this. It's old logos. I'm going to wear it.
Where is he from?
He's from Milwaukee.
Oh, my. Goodness, that's right.
That's weird.
Yeah,
rats off a ship. I'm not rats off a ship. Now I don't know if I'd go defensive stopper.
You are a sucker. You buy
I'm not a sucker. I'm not a sucker. But he has he's been getting his paws on some loose basketballs. And let me tell you something. I think he can be pesky. He can just get into those passing lanes, steal that basketball quick like a cat, right down the court.
Over under 50 steals this year.
I have to let me go see what is let me see.
Well, hold on.
I'm giving you the
It would also require him to play more than 50
Leroy
games.
Because you so enthusiastic about it.
It would require Leroy for him to play over 50 games.
Well, no, that's true.
I'm saying he's going to play 70 to 80 games.
Let's see. What is his career high in steals?
12?
No, he had 50 steals 2 years ago.
How many games he played 2 years ago?
67.
Okay.
Ooh. Then he got hurt in the playoffs.
Okay. Wait. Let me see.
75?
Are you attracting your ass?
That might be a low number.
75 is a better
because
number.
Because I'm here. I am predicting he's going to be healthy all year.
Yeah.
So we're basing it off of this. If he already has had 50 and he wasn't considered a defensive stalwart, and
Jimmy
now
Butler,
he's trying.
I'll give you – Jimmy Butler is looked upon always as one of the league leaders in steals.
Right.
And this is with 64 games 2 years ago, he had 117 steals.
Damn.
Last year in 60 games, he had 80 steals. This is he is among the best guys to do it. He's crossed the 100 steal mark 3 out of the last 5 years. He almost did it 2 years ago, but he only played 57 games, so he had 94. Okay. So what are you thinking? What do we think? We're thinking 70 steals for old Tyler?
No.
Too much?
No.
Hmm.
I would say the over-under is probably 55-60. He's not going to average one a game.
Gotcha. Hmm. I'm going over.
Okay.
But I'm not rats off a ship. Stopper may be strong, but I'm going to go pesky.
Then okay, stopper. Right. There we go. Rats off a ship.
I'm
not going into a basketball game thinking that Tyler Hero has to be a stopper. So already, no, rats off a ship on that.
Everyone's on a string together.
I like to put you on a string. nonsense.
Wow.
Come on.
Jay Fig.
Point for Leroy.
I'm going to say not rats off the ship just because of what Leroy just said. That was great.
You already know I'm rats off the ship just for the shirt, not because of the defensive.
can't be
rocking no Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey, no. I'm probably more inclined to say rats off the ship because of the shirt than Vlad.
He hates the Steelers.
Yeah.
But these kids these days, they don't have any allegiance. Yep.
But I'm a big fan of Mike Tomlin. Woo, goodness.
Splash.
All these dudes win.
What's number three, Jennifer?
UFC rankings.
Well, what weight class are we questioning?
Yeah, can we care to explain, JFig?
We have a video here of Dana White being very furious with the media.
Who Pereira has beat, right? And how he's beat him leading up to this fight. He was winning on the scorecards when he got stopped. He was ahead on the scorecards, stayed in the pocket, put on one of the greatest fights anybody's ever seen. And he stays at number 8.
He's talking about Khalil Roundtree.
Just, I can't handle the incompetence. I can't take it anymore. It's driving me crazy. And I can't let people that I don't believe know what the f*** they're talking about deal with the rankings anymore. I just can't do it. I have to figure out a solution. Tomorrow I have a meeting with a group of people that are coming to me saying they have the solution to this problem. And God, I hope they're right, because I'm going to change it. The media will no longer control the rankings in the UFC.
All right. Furious. I got to tell you.
Does he have a point? Let's start off with the Pereira thing.
Okay. I'll start off. He was talking about Khalil Roundtree. He's upset Khalil Roundtree is still number 8 after losing and getting knocked out. To Alex Bejeda, who had it was a good performance by Khalil. It was admirable.
So should he be down, like lower in the rankings? Or
well, he didn't go down in the rankings. So he went into that fight ranked 8.
So if he had a good performance, but he still got his ass beat, don't you think still being number 8 is good?
he got his face turned into a horror movie.
Okay. Now, my question is, do we think it is? Because here's Vlad, we're spoiled by the BCS and the college rankings that
right.
if you lose, you drop. And you start there because other guys move up. Is the UFC rankings very similar, or do they just take the work of art, the work, you know, the body of work, win or lose,
and the outcome? Right.
Right.
I'll tell you this. I was once a official voter of the BKFC rankings, a bare knuckle voter. And I stopped doing it because I'm like, I'm not watching BKFC every week. And also, you guys don't, this doesn't matter because you guys never have Luis Palomino fight the number one star that you bring in anyway. I was always have him number one pound for pound. But I did find like, hey, I'm not watching this. I don't know who everybody's best is. I want to watch BKFC. It's like my fourth favorite, you know, it's like my fourth favorite combat sport to watch. I'm not voting on this. I think the MMA media, for the most part, does a pretty good job on this stuff. I don't understand because you guys decided to have a very low-ranked guy fight for the title, and he put an admirable fight in because he's a good striker. He's a good stylistic matchup. He still lost and got bludgeoned. He put up a nice effort for a few rounds. It's a 5-round fight.
So did they want him to
move Why up? Does that deserve to go up in the rankings? That doesn't make any sense to me.
He didn't go up. He just stayed where he was.
So, yeah, right. So what's he bitching
about?
But
Dana's
about?
Mad because he stayed at 8. He's not so like
he shouldn't go any higher.
No, he's saying he should have dropped.
No, he's saying he should have gone up.
That's what he said.
He should have went up. So here's my question. Was he right saying he was leading the card until he got stopped?
He officially was on the judges' scorecard. He was up 2-1.
So here's my issue with that. Is that you got stopped even though you were leading the card at the time you got stopped, but you're fighting the number one, you're fighting the champ. So if like that, does that not matter?
Yeah, but
like if you fighting the champ and you actually hold your own and are actually leading, doesn't that make you more than an 8? Or do you just count the loss?
You got to count the loss, Leroy. You got to count the loss.
Okay, I got it. But I'm asking because if we're looking at this from our perspective, we only think of college football.
Well, let me give you the back on this, though. The only reason he got the fight is because Bejeda is a very active champion. A lot of champions will only fight once, twice a year. Bejeda fights 4 times a year. He's very active, and he's smoking everybody.
And you can't find anybody for him.
He's already taken out 1, 2, 3's got a fight coming up this next weekend. And so they just were like, hey, we want to do a main event with Bejeda. Who are we going to pick? Roundtree.
So
Roundtree was properly ranked beforehand. If you lose the fight, like if it was like at the end, if it went to a decision, I can hear the argument. But just because you held the lead and then got your face knocked into mincemeat, I think you don't lose a spot. You don't go up.
What also screws him is the fact that of the 6 guys above him, not including Pajeda, has he fought any of those guys?
The highest ranked guy I think he fought that he beat was Anthony Smith, and I think Anthony Smith might be behind him now.
Right. So my point is that if you haven't fought any of those guys, I get you staying where you are, but you're not going to move up
fighting to
the champ. You're going to move up fighting the other contenders.
Dana's trying to promote. He's trying to promote a new fighter. That's the only reason why. Because going by what you guys just said right now, if he's the 8th ranked fighter in that weight class going in, and he did a little bit much better than you presumed.
He did, but like if you have a valiant effort against Georgia, but you lose,
right? It's not because by going by the college football theory, when Alabama played Georgia, Alabama was crushing Georgia. Georgia came back. Did Georgia show that they wanted the top 5 teams in the league? Yes. Yes, they did.
But you got to win.
But so did they go down?
I'm always a big fan of Vlad.
No, no, but they went down, but that's because they were highly ranked. This guy wasn't highly ranked at all. So win or lose, if he got destroyed and wasn't leading, he probably would have been 12th or 13th in the rankings right now. The fact that he held himself accountable, okay, he didn't go. He stayed at 8. That's properly where he should be ranked.
I think it's too weird of a situation to definitively be mad at the media about. Like, you got a victim of a champion who is cleaning out a division, and it doesn't mean that the other guys should then lose their ranking. So, like, those guys didn't fight as well against Bejeda, but the rest of their resume gets thrown out? Like, I don't know. It's
you made the fight. You can't complain about
that's
the result.
That's what I'm saying. He's trying to promote another fight. That's why he's trying to make
it. Here's the other thing. I'm also a big believer. If one plays two and two wins, one should just drop to two.
Well, it depends on how bad one loses.
It doesn't. But again, you're talking about the two top teams. If two plays three.
But Vandy didn't become four.
Huh?
But Vandy didn't become four.
Right. No, but that's a different situation. I'm just talking about that when the higher ranked teams play one another. You see, I tell you who they did it with. Mm-hmm. They did it with Bama and Georgia last year.
He's also been on this kick about, like, he's really upset that John Jones is not number one pound for pound anymore right now. Makhachev and Pajeda are ahead of him because John hasn't fought in a hot minute because he's been injured. But he's still third. And I don't know.
For not fighting, I might add.
Yeah, I think that he's getting his undies in a twist a little bit too much over this, to be honest with you.
I'm rats off a ship on it.
Like, I'm rats off a ship too.
You make a fight with an 8th ranked player. What do you think was going to happen? Anything could happen.
Fun fight.
Rats off a ship.
Enjoy. You don't have to get crazy about it.
Very weird.
I will say, next week. Oh,
you like it?
Max Holloway Topuria.
Blood will be shed. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed.
Isn't that the, like, 130 class?
145.
145, all right.
That's your limit? You're like, all right, I'm in.
Well, no, because remember Connor started there.
That was Connor's division. Yep.
Right. So yeah. But, like, these little, they're tiny.
Dude, that fight's going to be awesome.
Let them hit you, Leroy. See how tiny they are.
No. Like, them being tiny and them being able to kick my ass is two different things.
Dude, Topuria coming off knocking out Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway coming off the coolest knockout you've ever seen in your life with 10 seconds left. And Topuria is doing this thing, goes, do it to me in the first 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, that's good.
But Holloway was winning that fight.
Isn't Max Holloway Hawaiian?
Yeah.
Holloway was winning that fight regardless, right?
Yeah. That's what made it so badass.
Yeah, because he didn't have to do that. He did not have to go in and interact with that fighter in the last 45 seconds because he completely dominated that fight. But the warrior that he is, he's like, let's go, let's throw hands. And he caught him. Oh, God, he caught
him. Isn't that when he waved him in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, let's finish this in style.
Oh, it was. I still get the goosebumps thinking about it.
Can I just say this, though? After dude gets up from the floor, after getting beat down and knocked out from getting,
don't hug me.
Don't hug me and tell me how good I am.
Nah, don't do
that. I just got knocked the bleep out. I don't want to hear that. I also don't want to stand next to you concussed and have the other guy raise your hand. I'm good. We know who won. Let me get the hell out of here.
Ego.
The beauty of the martial arts.
Yep.
Take a break. Back after this.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.